And then, all right, speaking of the joint, in case you were, Bill Nolte is here with us. I left him last night, and he was still giving me the long answer, even though I asked for the short. Ladies and gentlemen, from the joint, the legendary Bill Nolte. There you are. So nice to see you. You know, though, Bill, I got to tell you, you always ask, you want the long answer or the short, and you always give the long answer.
Unless they ask for the short answer.
I ask for the short answer.
It's pretty long, usually.
So it's just a long...
So be careful what you ask for.
It is a long and there's a longer answer.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. How are you?
Good.
Since last night. Okay, you say that kind of late for you? Was that late for you?
Well, I planned to get out of there by 9.
Yeah.
And then the window started... You know in Star Wars, the way it...
The credits.
Yeah. Well, it was 9, and it was 9:30, and I looked over, and you were still there.
Yes, and then
it was
in a galaxy far away.
I'll be damned if I'll leave before he does.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
But you live upstairs, so where are you going to go?
Yeah,
really?
I was closer.
Yeah.
No drunken driving tickets when you live upstairs.
No.
No.
Good. Just drunken stumbling.
Stumbling, but the door is closed.
There's no ticket for that, though. Charles Mingus, all these great jazz players.
But before we go on, could I say something?
Yes.
I want to put a rumor to rest. A lot of people thought that there was a rift between the two of us because
it
took me 30 years to get on this damn
show. I know. So, if I would have known you wanted to be on, you would have been there.
So last night we forgave each other.
Yeah.
You know, John Prine said we forgave each other till we both turned blue.
Yeah. What's with the little glasses of beer, though? Can you tell me that right off the bat?
Can I finish this?
Yeah, I'm sorry. You asked for 15 minutes. Can I interrupt the long
way? You promised me you wouldn't interrupt.
Okay, I did.
I said you could sit there for 15 minutes. You don't have to be funny. I'll do all of it.
Why does it have to be 15 minutes? Give me the short answers.
Well, the short answer is that I forgave Michael for not having me on here in 30 years, and last night he forgave me for not being interesting enough to be on here for 30 years.
If you're anything, you're too interesting.
That's called having a real buddy.
Yeah. You're way too interesting. Yeah. That's your
and then point. I want to talk about another thing before.
Okay. No, go ahead. It's your show.
Don't feel free to interrupt me, please.
No, I won't.
This legend, the word legend.
Legend.
Yeah, it said something about the joint being legend.
No, I said you were a legend.
Oh, well, that isn't true at all.
Okay.
I walked into...
Why does it have to be true all of a sudden? Things you say are all verifiable?
I've said so little true in my life. Why start now? Actually, the place was a legend before I got there.
Yeah.
I was Tendy Bar in the early days. I used to do that.
What was it called before?
Before my knees gave out. Well, it was the joint for about 8 or 10 months when I got it. Before that, it was Shakey's 8th Inning Bar.
Wow, that's good, too.
Because there were softball fields down, and those games only lasted 7 innings, and so they spent the 8th inning at the joint. But I was there one afternoon, and I realized that I had taken the stewardship of a legend because an older guy came in there and said to me, "You own this place?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "I was here, you know, this is the one I was going to tell you last night, and you said, don't tell me everything, for God's sake, it'll ruin it."
Yeah, sounds like you. I sound like you.
Yeah, so I said, he said, "You own it?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I was here the day Mike Farrell got his ear bit off in a fight in the bar." Mike Farrell owned the place. Yeah. For a while, it was Farrell's bar.
Yeah.
And
Farrell's one-ear bar?
In the next 5 years, I met at least 600 people who had been there that night when he got his ear bitten off.
Yeah. And what's capacity?
I said, that must have been a hell of a night with 630 people in there when we've got a capacity of 100.
What was the cause and why was that the solution?
It was a difference of opinion, I think.
I hate to bite your ear off.
Yeah, this guy bit Mike Farrell's ear off way before Mike Tyson was even in grade school.
Who does that?
Yeah, we started.
Who does that in a fight? I couldn't believe it when Tyson did. I mean, who would actually? Why would that be your first thing?
Well, if you can't hit the guy, you got to get at him somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bite him. Yeah.
I can't see it.
No.
You're not a fighter yourself, though.
No.
Yeah. Okay. No. All right.
I have been witness to an occasional fight.
Fine.
Yeah, but.
Can I interrupt for just a second?
Sure. Go ahead.
What an amazing music! But you're an artist, right? You started. You decided you were going to run a bar. What was the thinking?
Well, I did what you said. I came up here and lived, and I looked for something to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you were.
And no, I don't know. I came here. Guy said to me, "Are you from here?" I said, "After 45 years, don't you get to say you're from there?" I mean, come on. You have to have been born here. I don't know. I came up here because I knew people were here, and my life was falling apart. And I thought, what a great place to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you turned it into this amazing music bar. You had Mingus. I mean, some of the people.
Well, yeah.
Playing here. And yeah. I noticed I got this the review or something from the.
Oh, that's another thing, by
but
the
it
way.
Was looking
you
back.
Mind if I interrupt?
No, go ahead.
A lot more people actually haven't played there than I get credit for having.
Okay.
Yeah. We were talking last night in the one corner, which used to be called the Blue Room. It's not blue anymore, but there was a Point special sign there, and it was blue, so we called it the Blue Room. That sign hasn't been there for 35 years, but it's still the Blue Room to those of us who are still alive that remember it. And in that corner, there are four poets on the pictures. Donald Hall, who you had on, and John Ciardi, who was the... Donald Hall was the U.S. Poet Laureate, and John Ciardi was the poetry editor at the Saturday Review for 20 years, and Miller Williams, who read at the second Clinton inaugural, Lucinda Williams' dad.
Oh, yeah, really.
And Gary Snyder, who was won a Pulitzer in poetry. And a kid came in one day and said to me, "What's my dad's picture doing up there?" And he pointed at Donald Hall, and I said, "What's your name?" And he said, "You know, Murray Abramowitz or something." I said, "Well, then that's not your dad."
Well, that's not his name, though.
So. He said, "Yeah, he said it is too."
Yeah.
And I said, "No, it's really not."
Yeah.
And he said, "It is my dad." So he said, "Will you get me? Do you have the picture?" So I went and got him the picture, and I gave it to him, and I said, "Now you take that and show it to your dad, and if that's your dad, you call me." And he never called.
No.
I think
maybe it was his dad. That's why.
Yeah,
his
dad said, "What are you, a damn fool? I'm doing." And then John Ciardi, one guy said, "What's John Madden's picture doing up there?"
I can see that one.
I said, "Why would I have John Madden's picture in the Blue Room in the Poets' Corner?" He, you know,
he didn't know the background of that corner.
No, he didn't at all.
Even the sign that had been there, nothing.
Yeah.
So he's just shot in the dark. Looks like John Madden.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead. Now I'm done
more forgiving.
For a
minute. You have to be more forgiving of some of your patrons.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's a lot of pictures on the wall.
It's a big part of
some
being,
of them
you're
bound to be
Bobby
related
Dylan.
To.
Bobby Dylan. Yeah, they always say, that's Bobby Dylan, isn't it? I said, no. When they think...
Who is it that they thought was Bob Dylan?
Oh, any number of people. Half of them were black guys.
Well, he's half black.
You see a black guy with a saxophone who looks somewhere about Bob Dylan's age, you say, that's Bobby Dylan, isn't it? And I said, yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they always call him Bobby too when they think he's played there. It's never Bob,
call him Zim.
Say that again.
Zimmerman.
Of course.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Shiner here.
Yeah.
Probably Zimmerman, born Zimmerman.
Yeah, most famous musicians.
Oh, I thought you'd say something else.
Were Zimmermans at one time or another.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So now you got Charlie Mingus. You got all the jazz
greats. Charles Mingus. Yeah.
Coming in, Charles Mingus. I'm sorry, and. Coming in there.
Yeah, I said Charlie Mingus, and his agent said, "Don't call him Charlie."
I know, I felt bad.
He's hard enough to get along with.
Yeah.
Don't call him Charlie. I didn't.
First of all, how did you get these guys? How is it possible? Because you
don't I was sitting up in the Blue Room one day, and we were bored. Wow. And I had my own jukebox, and this Ahmad Jamal tune came on, and I turned to the guy. I said, some guy was sitting next to me. He said, "We ought to get this guy here."
Yeah.
And he said, "Are you serious?" And he got up and went and made a phone call. And within 5 minutes, I was talking to...
Who was the guy?
Well, the guy had done a lot of booking of music at Ohio State. And some strange twist of fate, he ended up in the Blue Room.
Huh.
And he said, "Okay." And then I talked to his agent on the phone. And 3 months later, he was there.
Yeah. What did you have to pay Charles Mingus to come?
Oh, well, Jamal was $1,500. That was that long ago. And Mingus was, well, actually, that's interesting. Do you know that story? You asked me that?
No, I don't.
Well, I got on the phone and I was in a discussion with the agent about how much we were going to pay Charles Mingus.
I know.
And I put the phone down and this guy said to me, somebody wants Charles Mingus to come here and play. And they said, "Is he coming?" I said, "No, it's too much money." He said, well, what is it? I said, well, I offered 8, and the guy wanted 9. And this friend of mine looked at me and said, for $100, you're not going to have Charles Mingus play there? I said, yeah, that was really stupid. And I called the guy back right away.
Yeah. Oh, it wasn't 9,000. It was 900.
900.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And when he walked out the door, he said to a friend of mine who was taking care of him, finally found him some ribs. If he wanted ribs, there weren't any ribs in town. But
at
now
the
they're all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah, ribs. You can't miss them. And he said, he said, tell Bill next time we'd like to play for a week.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, I like that.
Did he ever come back?
No.
Okay. But I noticed in talking about this, that you said that only the foreign students from the university came to the club to see these jazz people. Is that, why would that be? Is that true?
No.
Okay. Well, this is all wrong here then, this whole thing. I thought, well, why would
you got to be careful what you're reading there.
I know. Yeah. Well, if it's about...
A lot of them did, though. You know, they said that I think that might be a quote. I talked to a guy about clubs in New York, and he said if it weren't for the Japanese, three-quarters of the clubs in New York would close because they travel to New York and they want to buy something at Tiffany's and go hear jazz at a club.
Yeah.
And maybe that's where that came from.
Yeah. Any thought of opening it up to music again, or is that not a possibility?
No.
Well, you're just done with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Short answer.
I think of it once in a while, and then I lie down until the impulse goes away.
But also,
it's like exercise. Yeah. You know, when you think of it, just go lie down, the impulse will go away.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's all kinds of legend about the bar as well, like such a Justin Vernon was actually conceived at the joint.
Actually, I introduced his parents. I don't know what happened after that.
Yeah.
Well, I know something happened.
Did you notice he disappeared for a moment?
Yeah. Well, you know, that's another story I think we spoke about briefly last night. I get a phone call from Michael's producer, and I said to my girlfriend, Kathy, I said, oh, for God's sake, is this pledge week? So, so I called back about 3 hours later and said, okay, I got $20. And the guy said, hi, Bill, we'd like you to be on What Do You Know? And I said, what, did Michael Perry die? And the guy laughed. He said, no, but actually he's out of town. And I said, well, what about Vernon? He said, he's in Australia.
Yeah.
So I thought, hey, this is my window of opportunity. So I jumped through it.
I didn't know. But you were a little reluctant to come on the show. What was
Yeah. Well, I'm not in show business.
Okay. Am I? Really? What is it? You know what I mean?
I think of you as being in show business, but a humble sort of man in show business. Yeah.
Humbled by it.
I don't expect you to find you dead in an elevator of an overdose of opiates.
No, it'll be from natural causes when they find me in the elevator.
Yeah. What did he die of? He said he was just worn out.
Yeah. Just thought it was a thing to do, you know. He was tired of going up and down in the thing. And okay. And then what about your art? You don't want to talk about your art at all?
No.
Okay.
If anybody wants to see what I do, they can go to the bar, they get a key.
Yeah.
You go down to the gallery, you turn on a light, you let it wait for a couple minutes because they're fluorescent, take some time to warm up, and then you look, and then you lock the door and bring the key back.
Yeah.
And I told you, I said, I'm not coming down there with you.
No.
You said, why? I said, because if I'm standing there and you look around at those and think, what in the hell was this guy thinking when he did that?
Yeah.
You won't say that. You'll be nice.
No, I think they're genius, though.
Oh, well, thanks.
I don't even know how you did them. They're so genius.
Yeah, well, very slowly. No, somebody said, what did you do today? I said, I made a 9-inch ladder out of wood.
Yeah.
It took me about 8 hours.
And they're like this.
They're little, yeah.
Because you do a lot of that Escher stuff.
Yeah.
There's a lot of ladders and steps.
Ladders and steps.
They're very small boxes like that.
Yeah.
But we don't want to talk about it.
No.
Were you planning on a career as an artist? Though we don't talk about that.
No. I didn't ever plan on much of any of this.
Yeah.
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 I figured if you stay, you know, there's that time in your life when you're what, 14, when you know you're not going to play in the NBA? And then.
Oh, so you're thinking about the NBA.
Then for 20, well, any you know, professional sporting thing. Then you sit there for a while and think, well, what the hell am I going to do now? I'm only 5'9". And then I learned to type in high school.
Learned to dribble.
And I learned to drink in college. There was a lot of dribbling going on there. Yeah. Then I ended up, you know, owning a bar, and I thought, you know, this is going to be easier. If you just wait long enough, pretty soon everything will happen to you.
Yeah.
Don't go out looking for it. It'll come. Yeah.
But you know what?
And that's why when 30 years went by, I thought maybe I could be wrong about this. I would have hated to have made that mistake, you know.
I didn't know you wanted.
Oh, well, I keep my light under a bushel, you know. The first time we met, you know, I didn't say, God, I want to be on your show.
And this Mike Perry thing, you're not really
Yeah, well, no, we're proud of Michael.
Because he spent a lot of time. Yeah,
he doesn't drink, you know. The only thing we got against him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't.
What's that all about?
Yeah.
Not drinking. I mean, how does he get through life?
Yeah. But he sat at the feet of...
Can you imagine the guy done as well as he is in writing, living in the ninth drunkest town in America, and he doesn't drink? So he sat up in the front with some people. You've had Frank Smoot, you had him on a show once, and a lot of people, and he learned a lot of stuff up there in that corner.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he went off and became famous.
Yeah.
And then I told you once we were proud of him, but he hadn't gotten over Baudelaire yet.
He hadn't gotten over
Baudelaire.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you said, what's that mean? And I said, well, until you get over Baudelaire, you go around saying all the dumb stuff you said when you were 17. You know, about the universe and spirituality.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it's right after you give your girlfriend a copy of Khalil Gibran's book, Prophet. You know what you give your girl that book for.
It's a bathroom book.
Yeah, well, and it's that's a seduction method.
Oh, is it?
More young men in America have made connections with young women on that because it proved their spirituality.
I think that window has closed, actually.
No, yeah, I speak Gibran. Of speaking is it the first line, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I count 15 minutes.
Has it been that long?
You want a couple
I think
more?
You're right. I'm telling you, when you're having fun.
I bet there's something that you're holding back that you wished you would have. When you leave, you don't want to go, you know, those.
Well, I would just say that.
Can I say one thing before you do that?
Sure. I don't want
anybody. Oh, wait. No. Yeah.
I don't want anybody to think.
Okay. No, wait. This is the short end. How unique the joint is as an institution, not just as a bar. That place is unbelievable. I mean, it's such a good feeling in there. It's such the diversity of people in there, all having a good time. The bartenders are the best in the world, by the way, but they're also psychologists. It's entirely unique, the joint. And that's a tribute to you because it's a manifestation of you. There's no place like it. Positively.
Well,
absolutely nowhere there, like
there's
it.
Another level of uniqueness about it, is that I'm going to have to call you to task. Unique, you know, means one of a kind.
Okay.
So it can't be really unique.
Can you accept the compliment
unique
or can't
kind
you?
Of unique. It's either unique or it's not.
Okay.
So you said it's really unique, like sort of unique or more or
it
less unique.
It is unique.
It's unique.
I meant unique when I said really unique.
One of a kind.
Yes,
yeah.
And so are you.
Oh.
And it's nice just
I'm telling you.
It's nice just to wrestle with you verbally.
Yeah. Yeah, good. Yeah. I don't have any other wrestling left in me. Just ask my girlfriend.
Thank you, Bill. Bill Nolte, ladies and gentlemen. You know him. One of a kind. That's unique. Bill Nolte.